Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Bonflesberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi. How's it going, sweetie?
Well, this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition, and I am doing pretty well, Ma. How are you?
Wonderful. Just continuing to enjoy my beautiful summer. Everything is going lovely, and like I said, thank heavens for the warm weather, and thank heavens for the air conditioning.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I had a nice long weekend.
Yeah.
With family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, good. How was it?
It went well. I played some Texas Hold'em.
Okay. Did you win?
No, I was like in the middle. Okay. I was in the middle. Not bad.
Like broke even kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, no, everybody gets their money taken away from them, but I was like number 5 out of 10. So not bad.
Okay, so I don't know what that means. I guess it means you didn't lose much. Okay, that's
And I also sang some karaoke.
Oh, boy. What was your song of choice, daughter? What did you sing?
I sang Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
Oh, they forced that on you.
Yeah.
I knew that wasn't your choice.
No. No, that's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful, daughter. I'm glad you had fun. I know y'all had some cocktails, too.
Well, yes. In that order to get through that song, I definitely had to have some cocktails.
Oh, that is so nice. I'm glad you had fun. What were you over the weekend? What, Friday through Sunday or so? Something like that?
Yes, yeah, Friday through Sunday, yeah.
Okay,
and I'm going to Colorado on Thursday, so I'm just moving and grooving.
You got a lot of family. You know, you got family all around. You know, so
well,
you,
in-law you know. Family, but it's family.
Well, that's family. It's family. Yeah, that's wonderful. I hope you enjoyed the trip. I'll talk to you later because I might want you to bring something back for me from Colorado. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, let's tell everybody what we're sipping on. And I mentioned this good brother not too long ago because his company has gone nationwide. Highway Vodka, we have to give a special toast to him. Ben Williams.
Okay.
You got it, Mom? We're doing Highway Vodka.
Okay. All right. To Highway Vodka. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud. You can taste that hemp.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whew. Okay, so let's get into some pop culture. So, Ma, we talked about Nope, and Nope did well in its opening weekend. It debuted at number one. And
oh,
it's
wonderful.
And it's the best for an original film since Jordan Peele's Us. In 2019.
Okay. I'm so happy for your success. You know, I mean, the talent, the audience loves you and the peers and your community loves you. That's so wonderful, Jordan Peele. Good for you. Congratulations.
Well, there was some controversy surrounding.
Well, that's how you get successful.
Well, no. Not per se. Oh. Had to do with Keke Palmer. And they were saying a tweet that was posted on July 23rd compared Keke Palmer to Zendaya's career as an example of how colorism plays out in Hollywood. Both stars got their starts on popular children's TV shows before having careers that include music, Emmy wins, and headlining Hollywood tentpoles. And so I'd like someone to do a deep dive on the similarities and differences between Keke Palmer and Zendaya's careers, the viral tweet read. This may be one of the clearest examples of how colorism plays out in Hollywood. They were both child stars, but their mainstream popularity is very different. Well, Palmer wasn't hearing that. She said, "I've been a leading lady since I was 11 years old. I have over 100 plus credits and currently am starring in an original screenplay that's the number one film at the box office, #Nope. I've had a blessed career thus far. I couldn't ask for more, but God continues to surprise me. And she went on to say that she, this is Kiki Palmer, baby. And I thought that was awesome. I thought that was like
Me too. I co-signed on that, Kiki.
She said she was the youngest talk show host ever, the first Black woman to star in her own show on Nickelodeon, and the youngest first Black Cinderella on Broadway. I am an incomparable talent, baby. This is Kiki Palmer. Wanted to get that correct.
Oh, I love it, Kiki. Kiki, I love it. And I don't know who wrote that, but honey, you know what? It's a teachable moment. It's a teachable moment because whoever wrote that, they didn't know. They just weren't informed. But if you don't know, now you know. Okay? They didn't know. They didn't know of what they were speaking. And Kiki let them know. I love it. I love it. Kiki, I co-sign 1,000%.
And how about let's not compare and put two Black women against each other. They both are in their own lane. They both are trailblazing and doing their own thing. Leave Zendaya alone and leave Kiki alone. They're shining. They have their own, they're two stars in their own right.
You said it. You got that right. You know, that's wonderful. I love it. Kiki, I hear you. And Kiki ain't confused. She know what time it is. I love that.
She always was so poised as a young girl. She was
a killer in the bee.
Yeah.
You know, when we first went to see her at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah.
With Lawrence Fishburne and those in A Killer and the Bee. She was good. You know, Oh, and it's just wonderful to see her have grown into just such a talented young woman, you know, and self-assured and, like I said, and self-aware. So, you know, just wonderful.
And someone like you always have said to me, colorism is something that racist white people, and not all white people, because we know all white people are not racist, but that racist white people want us to exhibit. And this is a true example of putting, you know, against each other, two very talented, very successful women. So I'm glad that Kiki has her head on straight, and I'm glad that Zendaya has her head on straight. So congratulations, girls, ladies, not girls, young women. You deserve your flowers.
There you go. I love it. That's one of the best things that I've heard in a long time. Wonderful, Kiki. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my Mr. Kid Cudi also was dealing with some controversy, and you know, nothing, not to his own doing. He replaced Kanye West as a headliner at the Rolling Loud Festival in Miami, and Cudi's headlining set was cut short after multiple water bottles were thrown at him from the crowd.
Cudi, I heard something about that.
He warned them. He says, "Yo, I will walk off this stage if you all throw one more effing thing up here. I will leave right now." And then shortly after, somebody threw something and he left. And I felt really bad for Kid Cudi because he replaced Kanye West. Kanye West called out like very shortly before.
Very abruptly,
Yes. And, you know, they were all...
he is unreliable and unpredictable at times.
Rolling Loud had been preparing for him for months. And they said no one has ever dropped out as a headliner from their festival before.
Well, and the first time. Well, they never had Kanye West before.
And my before you comment, I don't know if you realize what was really the kicker. Then he decided to show up as a guest on another artist's set, okay? And at the same time that Kid Cudi was performing. Good. So that was just great. I wouldn't have, if I was Rolling Loud, I wouldn't have let that happen. I don't think that was cool.
Let it happen? What do you mean? How could they?
I wouldn't let Kanye West go up there and perform as a guest on somebody else's set when he was supposed to be the headliner.
But how could they stop it? I'm not understanding. How could they
stop it? Well, they saw him going up there.
Well, what were they supposed to do? Physically stop it? All they can do is get him up and come. They can come at him with a breach of contract and
that's what, with some money. That's what they'll do.
I mean, that's what they're gonna have to do. That's their only recourse. They can't physically restrain or attack him.
Well,
you know,
of course.
Yeah. Well, hit him in the pocketbook. That's all. If that kind of stuff even matters to him anymore, who knows? You know, but you know what? But they know Kanye is high risk. If they don't, you know, his behavior has been very unpredictable for a few years now.
Okay. His behavior has been unpredictable. That is in my opinion. Anybody want to take issue with it? Fine, go right ahead. But that is my, you know, heartfelt opinion that he's been highly unpredictable for
a while. Would you have walked off the stage if you were a Kid Cudi?
Yeah, I'm here replacing somebody and you throw, look, I would have walked off the stage if I'm Naomi. Okay, if you throwing shit at me, I'm walking off the stage. Come on, what you going? I'm gonna stand there and take your abuse? You know, no. You throwing stuff at me. Why do I have to be any particular person not to want to be abused?
That's true.
You know what? I don't care if I was up there doing maintenance. You throwing stuff at me, I'm off. I'm out. I don't have to be assaulted, you know. Okay, let's keep this show moving. Oh no.
Oh my gosh, Mari, you're hilarious. No, I agree. I felt bad for Kid Cudi. You know, we love you, Kid Cudi. I hope everything is good with you. You know, Kid Cudi has dealt with mental health issues in the past. And, you know, part of it is stardom, you know,
Let me tell you something, honey. He was very lucid. His mental health was very much intact when he walked the hell off that stage.
That was the best thing to do. Yeah.
You got that right.
Okay. So there is a popular writer and life coach. I've actually never heard of this person. His name is Solomon Bucci. I could be mispronouncing it.
Yeah, anyway. Okay.
Just, well, you know what we're going. Sure. Okay. So he pens a letter to his wife or fiance. Don't know if it's which one, but one of them. Anyway, you're not the most beautiful woman.
Good. And neither are you.
Neither are you. Most intelligent woman. But like I've chosen to never find perfection in anyone else, I put my gaze on you. And with that commitment, we would mold ourselves for ourselves. Our perfection is in our commitment. Stating that you're not the most beautiful / intelligent might sound like it's not a compliment. Yeah, but it's a realistic basis for love, for real love. Acknowledging that my woman isn't the best, but I'm not looking for the best. I was looking for you.
Well, that's good because you didn't find it either.
And I found you. There's no best. There is just someone you choose and see the best in them. This is, to me, is the real love, not the one that consoles itself in the faux reality that their partner is the most good-looking, most intelligent, most successful person in the world. That's disingenuous and doesn't give room for love to thrive. I love you, Ionfi, whatever her name is. I'm committed to you. I miss you so much, but my love for you is stronger than distance.
Wait a minute. Where is he? Where are they? Why does he miss her so
much? I don't know. I think he's Nigerian.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Everything is not in what you say, but in how you say it. Okay. And how he confessed his love was very mixed.
Would you be offended?
Yes. Yes. As soon as he said, you're not the most beautiful or you're not the best looking, I would have said, neither are you, you ugly bastard. I know you're not talking to me. I know you ain't talking to me. I'm not the best looking. Hell no. How do you think you look? You looked in the mirror lately? You ain't nothing to have Aegis Elba yourself. Yeah, you know. No, I would have been offended. You know what? And that would have been the end of that conversation real quick. Okay. I would have been, no, you just don't, if that's how you think it, keep it to your damn self. Don't tell me that. You know, this is what he should have done. He should have really used more filters and edited that out.
Yes.
You don't start out a love letter or anything that if you want a positive outcome, you don't start out with negatives.
No.
You don't start out saying negative. You're not this, you're not that. Yeah, good. You know, you start out telling me what I am. I don't want to hear what I'm not, because we got all of us have a whole list of things that we're not. Right. And most of us know that.
Right.
I want to hear what I am, because it's understood that this is how you hold me in esteem. you know, in your eyes, in your heart, in your mind, mm-hmm. in your life, I'm this, that, and other. I want to hear what I'm not. I don't need to hear that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what you're not. And guess what? Pretty soon we'll be looking for somebody else who is. Okay.
Well, you know,
I don't want to hear that.
No, I think
right away. I'd be offended. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Ma, like realistically, I think, you know, I may know I'm not the most beautiful person in the world, but I would want the person that I'm married to think of me as, you know, their person as beautiful, you know.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And who is the most beautiful person in the world? What is that?
You know what? At any one given time, you know, nobody even knows who the hell that is.
Right.
You know, so no. You don't, and that's just a euphemistic way of saying that I don't look good. Right. No, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I'm offended because if I sit and tell you about all your shortcomings, then we really will break up. Right. It really will be a problem. No,
but
talk to me like that.
Do you think that we as a society want to say that everyone is beautiful too much? Or do you think that in general, we're supposed to see the beauty in everything?
Listen, but it's both. They can exist. They coexist. Okay. We overuse it. Mostly it's just hyperbole. When we start saying people are beautiful and they really are not beautiful, but we exaggerate to make them feel good this end, just say you're beautiful, okay? And it's kind of innocent, okay? Mm-hmm. Although some few people really are, the overwhelming majority of us are not, you know? But so we use that expression and people sort of understand that. And also we do want to see the beauty in everything, and that's good. Right. And if more people wanted to see the beauty in things, we wouldn't have all these murders and guns and all this stuff. You know, we need to be looking for the beauty in each other. We need to seek, that needs to be a goal, to find the beauty in each other, external and internal. Because all of it makes us behave more kindly toward each other and more lovingly toward each other. So, you know, I'm not with all that negative foolishness.
Yeah, I don't like that. You have a partner, you know, to me, you have a partner as someone who sees the best in you.
That's
and is supposed
daughter.
To uplift
That's
you
right.
and there not you pull can. You down. And I don't That's want right. anyone coming to me saying mm-hmm. those things. If no. they feel that way, then they need a different partner.
That's right. You need to step off and don't let me tell you how I think about you, because now you made me change my outlook about you.
Right.
You know. No.
So Solomon, no. I'm not feeling what you're putting down.
No. You can tell that to somebody else, because you know what? Because if somebody that you really feeling like that, you're not even going to say that, because you're just going to be, you know, often we are very crazily in love with somebody who might look like hell. You know, but we like them. They make us feel good.
Yeah, we think they look good, and they're so nice to us. It look like Idris or Chris Hemsworth
or whoever. They look good to us, and we have to be with them. So you know, so you just making me think that you're not even really feeling whoever you wrote that letter to. Mm-hmm. You write it to me, and you get cussed out. And plus, I'll let you know how I think you look.
Oh wow, Mom.
That's it.
Okay, so let's move on to I guess this happened. Was this yesterday?
I don't know. What was it, daughter?
In Love Fields in the DFW area.
Was that cousin over there?
She was still playing
with those pistols.
She is not related to me, and she is not related to you.
That we know of.
I don't know. I'll just leave that alone. But in all seriousness, this is clearly a case of mental health. So a woman opened fire.
She might just be a bad aim. You don't know what she was.
Ma, come on. No.
What do you mean it was mental health? Didn't they say she just broke up with this man? Maybe
Chris Brown?
Oh, Chris Brown was the man she broke up with.
No, she didn't break up with him. She said that's her husband, and she's something God's calling or something. I don't know.
I think it's a different Chris Brown. You know, that's a common name. I think that's a local Chris Brown.
I don't know what she said. Okay. Because, you know, the information is just coming in. And guys, you know, just, you know, we a disclaimer, we're giving you our opinion.
Well, what did they arrest her for? Because wasn't she
listen, with the roof? Listen, ma. So the 37-year-old woman was dropped off at the airport before 11 a.m. and appeared to change clothes in the restroom before emerging and opening fire inside the airport.
What kind of clothes was she wearing?
Somebody said a hoodie. I don't know if that's true. Dallas
for the occasion.
A Dallas police.
It was over 100 something. What the hell was you with a hoodie?
Right. That's suspicious already.
Right.
A Dallas police officer inside the airport shot her, striking her in the lower extremities and arrested her. It was rumored.
Now see, it's bad that he had to shoot her, but I'm glad the way he did it. He didn't shoot to kill. He just wanted to stop her.
Well, Ma, if somebody is shooting, then shoot him in the leg or the arm. I understand that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because she was really a threat.
She was a threat. Yes.
She was a straight up threat. No question about it. But even as the threat, he still wasn't trying to kill her unless he was a bad shot. You know,
right.
It doesn't appear that he was really trying to, you know, do her any permanent harm. He just wanted to bring her down. He just wanted her to stop. You know, stop shooting. Yeah.
So it was rumored that she said her husband cheated on her and she was going to light this place up. She appeared to shoot up at the ceiling. So there's two things. One thing that I heard, now all of this is rumors. One thing I heard that she was arrested, there's a mugshot of her where she was arrested for an apparent bank robbery. And then someone else, another publication said in April of 2021, she was accused of falsely reporting a fire in Dallas County. Mm-hmm. Now I also heard that a judge ruled that she was incompetent to stand trial, but not a danger to others. And the judge had ordered her to attend a psychosocial counseling and also to live in a special housing arrangement. So I don't know, provided by a healthcare provider. So to me, this woman doesn't seem as though she is mentally healthy and that she definitely needs some help.
She is definitely
a danger to others, and she does not need to be walking.
At the time, the judge was not. I don't know if she was psychologically evaluated. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I don't know where the judge came up with that. You know, because you know, mental health is not an exact science. Okay, as we all know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
At that time,
apparently she hadn't demonstrated any real tendency toward violence, you know, but now she's out shooting them up. So now I'm sure they'll put her in a more restricted environment where she can be contained and receive the services that she needs. And you know, good luck and good mental health to that sister, because I'm glad no one was seriously hurt, including her. Because that was just a horrible situation and it could have gone much, much worse. I'm glad there was no one was even injured and there was no loss of life. And, you know, clearly she needs intensive therapy and possibly medication and whatever else, you know.
Do you think that we're being soft in her mind because
she looks like us?
No.
No? No. What do you mean? What's soft? This is what she needs.
Okay. No, she does. She clearly does. Yeah. Well, how about this? How about stronger gun laws in Texas so that people who are mentally unstable won't have access to them? How about
stronger
that?
Gun laws, please. That's at the top of the list with everything.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking about that? Stronger gun laws, period. Mm-hmm. So people in poor mental health can't just go to the corner candy store or gun store or whatever and pick up a pistol. Of course we need stronger gun laws. And Texas is just a bit rampant. Texas is just 1, 2, 3. You know, I mean, there's nothing to it. You show some ID and your cash and boom, and you have whatever gun you want to buy.
And you know what? They're way more strict on alcohol. They will come out, they record you for alcohol. But well, yet...
I look very young. I look barely 19. They should card me.
That's true. So well, you understand, but in all seriousness, yeah, Texas absolutely.
Everybody knows that Texas is one of the a gun toting state. It just is. That's the reputation,
and
that's
still weed is illegal here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you can kill somebody and get away with it.
Yeah, but getting back to this particular, you know, episode, I'm just glad it could have gone much, much worse. I'm glad it could have been much more horrific than it was. The saddest thing in this situation is that, you know, her mental health has deteriorated to this extent. You know, that's the saddest thing in this whole scenario, because no one was hurt. You know, so I'm glad that that's, you know, it wasn't another situation where there's a mass killing. You know, so happy to that, and you know, and very upset, and you know, feel very heartbroken about this young lady who's, you know, I just hope she gets what she needs.
She needs mental health counseling. I'm saying mental health. She needs mental
counseling and/or medication, clearly.
Yes, and definitely. Yeah. Yes, definitely medication.
She needs to be contained long enough to get the proper help.
Right.
Not just 28 days back on the street and not even a full evaluation having been done. So if she isn't going to, if they don't keep her someplace for a while, she never will. She has to be contained in order to get the thorough evaluation.
And you know, she's a danger to others and herself. And that's the truth.
That has been demonstrated. Yeah. So let's just hope that it goes down that way. All right, daughter.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to another, I wasn't say topic, but so this company is under fire too. So Disney and Hulu are in the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
And it has to do with their unwritten advertising policy. So Hulu is one of the few paid streaming services that currently runs ads and is blocking advertisements that cover some of Democrats' party's core issues. And so over the past couple of weeks, the Democrats have asked that Hulu run ads for things that are important to the Democratic Party, such as climate change, guns, and abortion rights. But Disney, the majority owner of Hulu, has said no, they are not going to run those ads. Now, Facebook and YouTube have, but not Hulu and not Disney. And some people are calling for a boycott.
Okay, Hulu, Disney, there's overlap because Disney is the parent company of Hulu. Right?
Correct. Okay. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. All right. Listen, I, without going into a whole lot of detail, I will just simply say that I know a lot about the history of Disney and Walt Disney himself. And he was a very, an extremely racist Republican. Walt Disney himself. I've seen documentaries on him and so forth. So I know that the genesis of Disney World was from the mind of a man who was a racist, a staunch racist, and everything flows from there. What has happened is that Disney just grew so big and embraced children so much until it's sort of gotten to the thing of having a all inclusive and non-racial kind of persona.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, because Mickey Mouse himself is Black. Okay, you know, think about it. Mickey Mouse is Black. Well, we don't think about it.
I didn't think about that at all.
Well, he doesn't have to be, but he is. Okay, because they have mice in every color, right?
That's true.
So it's funny, Mickey and Minnie, you know, they're Black. So, but anyhow, so, you know, through the years, Disney has evolved. Disney, the whole Disney world, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney everything, the whole Disney brand has evolved to a great extent. But when you reach the higher echelons, when you reach the higher ups, it is still Disney World. It is still Walt Disney's persona.
That's true.
Got me? And Walt Disney's brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know how far removed from conservatism and racism we are if you dig deep enough, because now Disney World is such a Disney, it's such a big business. You have to juxtapose money, financial gain, against the politics of it.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Yeah.
Because everybody goes to Disney, whatever your politics are. Okay? Yeah. You know?
And I love Disney. My friends love Disney.
Me too. Everybody I know. Okay? Yeah. So now you're looking at a different thing. Mm-hmm. And it has been that way for years. Yeah. But let's see how it all plays out. And this neoconservatism or neo-white nationalism, whatever you want to, however you want to refer to it, or extreme right wingers, mm-hmm. some of them are black too. You know, they're not all white mostly, but some of them are black too, whatever. Now let's see mm-hmm. how, where they come down once these things are revealed, because a lot of things that the public doesn't know. But once these issues are revealed to the public mm-hmm. and they stand to lose, and if there's a significant movement, mm-hmm. like a boycott, and they stand to lose a lot of money, let's see how that all plays out.
Let me play devil's advocate quick. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, Disney came under fire from the Republicans too, with you know, obviously supporting, you know, LGBT, the LGBT.
That's right. That is exactly right.
And so is it a thing of being neutral as a business, or do you think that in situations when things are dire, when things are urgent, that you should take a stand?
I think at some point you have to take a stand. I think at some point you cannot duck your head. Listen, look at NATO, okay? Look at, for years, Switzerland, Finland. Mm-hmm. No, they don't want to be a part of NATO. But then Russia attacks Ukraine, and all, which is, and Finland is on the border. Right. And Switzerland is saying, well, look, I'm right here too. Who's going to stand up for us?
Right.
Then you have to take a stand. You have to, at some point, you have to take a stand. At some point, you can't stick your head in the sand. You know, you have to take a stand. So, you know, let's see how it plays out. They took a stand with LGBTQ mm-hmm. community, you yeah. know, and a good one.
A good one. One that I support.
Me too. So let's just see how this all plays out. Let's see if we're going to see vestiges of the origin, Walt Disney. Let's see if we're going to see vestiges of that, or if we're going to see them move on and do what they think is the right thing, which would be all inclusive and embrace everyone and mm-hmm. give equal time to the left, to the right, as balanced as they can. You got me?
I don't know yet, Ma. I don't know.
And I'm talking about the different issues. And I'm talking about, you know, climate control, etc. You know, and let's see what they do about women's rights. Let's see what's going to happen there. Because don't forget, it's women having these babies that we bring down to Disney World.
Okay? Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but we can, you know, move on. But, you know, they just briefly mentioned, well, about Chief Justice John Roberts. How he was secretly, well, not secretly, behind the scenes working to preserve, you know, Roe v. Wade, that he was, you know, behind the scenes doing
that. You know what he was doing? Okay, my interpretation, and, you know, based on the things I've read, well, you know, he voted with the minority. He didn't vote with the super majority. He didn't vote with the rest of those conservatives because not that he wanted to preserve completely Roe v. Wade. He didn't He didn't want them to be so radical. Right. He wanted only elements of it to be gone. Correct. He didn't want them to move so quickly and so radically. And he demonstrated that when he voted up. Remember, it was a 5-4 vote?
Yeah.
It was, you know, everybody was thinking, 6-3. You know, 16. No, right. Roberts didn't want that. But don't forget, Roberts has lost a lot of power now because he's not that pivotal vote. He's right. No more 5-4. Now they got a super majority and they don't need 6-3. Him.
6-3.
They don't need him anymore. So, you know, so he lost a lot of leverage. And guess who's been up there longer than any of them now?
Your boyfriend.
Your friend.
Your boyfriend.
And your friend.
Your boyfriend and his wife. I'm ashamed. The way I lobbied for that man, the way I lobbied for him, and he turned out to be a big disappointment. I don't even want to talk
about it. And you lobbied for him because he was a black man.
Because he was a black man.
Because you are a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
Which we're both liberal.
Right, you know, which I knew he was never, I knew he was always conservative, but I never knew he was just heartless and just mean and cruel and self-loathing and everything and didn't want to help people at all.
Well, now you see.
I just can't believe it. He has turned into a big disappointment.
Now you see.
I don't want to talk about him. He's a big disappointment. But anyhow.
I feel you. Right. All right, Master. We can move on. Let's see what happens with Hulu, Disney and Hulu. Let's see what's next for them. So on a much, much lighter note, Ma, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Sherry Whitfield, is it Sheree? It's not Sherry, Sheree. I know Sheree. Why am I saying Sherry? Sheree has a new man in her.
You thought, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sheree has a new man in her life, Martell Holt from Love and Marriage. Now, I will say, Ma, this is an age difference that I do like, that she's about maybe, I don't know, 12 years older than him. Oh, you know, so they don't, but.
Sheree looks fabulous anyhow. Sheree's problem is not her look. She looks great. Doesn't matter about their age. I think Sheree's very attractive. You don't think Sheree keeps herself together? Sheree's attractive. Sheree's a good looking person.
I didn't say anything about her looks. I just don't think that she has the best personality in the world.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't mention about her personality.
And neither does Martell.
Right. So to me, they're well suited for each other.
And I think for Sheree, I kind of feel a little bit because I think that the men that she's chosen in the past,
Bob haven't physically abused her.
Yeah.
Wrong. He just lied to her and stood her up and did all kind of stuff to make her feel humiliated and have her on TV crying and sitting out by herself in Philadelphia at the restaurant waiting for him and all this crap. Yeah.
And she, as a woman,
bad experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a woman, I don't feel that. I don't like that. I think that she deserves a different type of man.
Right. Sheree didn't do anything to these men. Whereas Martell, he launched an attack against Melody.
Right.
You know, against Mel. He launched that attack, but Sheree did not. Sheree did not do anything to any of these men to deserve that.
And
in fact, Sheree, I don't remember her when she was with Bob, but I do know when she was taking all those collect phone calls and locking herself up in the room and talking to him instead of going out and, you know, this and that and being true to him. I don't know if she put money on his books, but I'm sure she probably did. And taking abuse from Nene and all them about Tyrone, you know.
I just think that she deserves to be treated better.
Ways.
I think she deserves to be treated well, better than that. I don't want to bash Martell because people can redeem themselves. But the way he treated his ex-wife, the woman that he has four children with, was not a good look.
He does not come in with a good resume at all.
No.
He does not come in with a good resume. No, I'm with your daughter. No.
So I'm not.
Hey, good luck to them. Good luck to them, you know? But Sheree, you know what? Now, you're similar to a lot of other women, and I have been included in that number, at one point. You're not making good decisions about the men in your life, okay?
Yeah.
You know, you're not making good decisions. I don't know what you think about, Martell, but certainly you know his history because it's very public.
And ultimately that's their decision. Everybody, you know, is an adult, and you know, you wish happiness for people. You know, it's just kind of like we can see on the outside, you know, looking in, that doesn't necessarily seem like the best decision. But people might say the same thing about us when they're looking on the outside. So who knows?
Yeah.
So good luck. But I'm like,
Okay. I'm with you. I'm not feeling hopeful about that one. All right, sweetie, let's keep it moving.
So, Ma, I don't know if you had any thoughts about Better Call Saul. I just bring up Better Call Saul because, you know, we are coming to an end soon.
Still good writing. Yeah. Wonderful, very intriguing, very creative. Love it, love it, love it.
Did you like the direction they went in this week when they went to the future? You know, they went to Omaha. They kind of changed things up completely.
Yeah. And I like it very much. Well, to me, that's what keeps it interesting because they always put a spin on it. And they always have Saul, Jimmy, whatever. They always have him doing something very, very interesting. And you say to yourself, now, where's he going with this? Now, where is this character going to end up? So I love it.
I think they're going to tie everything in. I think they're going to bring back.
You know, they'll pull it together, you know, but I like the ride. I like the ride that you go on. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's that it's not familiar territory. The only thing that's familiar is that you know that you're going into the unfamiliar. And that's what I like about it. They're on their toes. Those writers are on their toes. Yeah.
Okay. I don't really have much to add except if you guys have not watched Better Call Saul, to check it out, to binge it. You know, it would be good to see Breaking Bad too, of course. But I would definitely binge Better Call Saul because we have three more episodes coming up after this one.
Yeah, and then
so the writing's really good.
Bob Odenkirk is just really good. That role was just meant for him.
I hope they give him the Emmy. I think he deserves it this time, you know, because this is the final season. Give him the Emmy. Don't just give it to him. He's earned it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so our final segment for this episode is Naomi Knows Best.
So, is this an update or is this
no
new?
Updates? I need some updates, guys. Okay. Once again, email us at info@bambushihappyhour.com. That is our new email address, guys. info@bambushihappyhour.com, or you can DM us at, you know, Bambushi Happy Hour or All Things Peju. But check that email, guys. New email address for us. So, dear Naomi, nearly 10 years ago, I went on a date with the worst jerk in history. I was 22 at the time and didn't know my worth. He was tall and fine, but other than that, nothing else really going on. He was cheap, asking me to chip in on the bill at IHOP. When I was younger, many people said I resembled Megan Good. He told me I could never come close to Megan with all the plastic surgery in the world. He refused to go to the movies because it was too late for the matinee price, even after I offered to pay. I wanted to check out this cool lounge, and we got thrown out because he got caught drinking out of the bottle of Hennessy he stole from the bar. When he dropped me off that night, he tried to kiss me, and that was an awkward exchange in which his lips met the top of my head instead of my lips. The next day, he called me and asked me on a second date to Sonic. I kindly said no, deleted him from my contacts. Well, I ran into him the other day at the mall. He was still handsome, and to my surprise, he remembered me. We reconnected over social media and he asked me out on a date. This time he offered to take me to Nobu. I don't know, should I meet him at Nobu or leave well enough alone? I'm single still, but I'm a professional woman now. I don't want to fall for his tricks. What should I do? P.S. He says he's single with no children.
Okay. Off the top, you would think you would say no to this individual, but it was 10 years ago. They've both grown. This is what I would do if I were you. I would say to him, is your invitation to Nobu, is that a Dutch treat or are you paying? Are you taking me? I would say that directly to him because money and his frugality has been an issue in the past. So I would simply ask him, are you inviting me, meaning you're paying,
or is this Dutch treat? Because if you're inviting me, I would love to go. It would be great. But if this is Dutch treat, then the answer is no. I would be just that explicit. It's 10 years ago and you was cheaper than hell 10 years ago and I'm not playing, okay? Either you and you, Nobu, who's gonna pay for Nobu, me or you? Right. If you want to buy example, show me and demonstrate to me that you are no longer that cheap person and maybe you're in a better financial place, you know, I don't know. But if you want to show that to me, I want to know that, right. You know.
Because Nobu is expensive.
You know, I know
Nobu's not cheap. Yeah.
Do you know I know that? Yeah. So, you know, and I would just ask because you raised the issue, you put the invitation out there, mm-hmm. and you know that it's expensive, but right. yet you invited me. So I would clarify. Normally, you would think you would not have to clarify.
Right.
But since this man has such a bad history, I would ask him. If the answer was, you know, I'd like us to go to Nobu, or if the answer is, you know what, maybe not Nobu, but maybe another nice restaurant that's a little less pricey, come with me with the real. Mm-hmm. Come with me with whatever you're able to do and that you're going to do, okay?
Yeah.
And that would be my thing. And if he was honest and open and said, okay, you know, no, I really want to take you to Nobu. I really would like to treat you to a lovely dinner at a very lovely place, you know? Then we're good. But if he comes with any other, oh, I thought it's going to be Dutch treat. Oh, let's just hang out. See how, if he was coming with any other crap, I'm out. Okay. I'm out. That's just it.
You know what, Ma, I agree with you. I tend to not look to the past, look back to the past because I don't, you know, trust that, you know, he was an adult. He was young, but he had that in him, that bad spirit. I don't know. Maybe he was just awkward and just didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Well, maybe he just didn't have any money. Yeah. You know,
don't ask anybody on a date if you don't have any money.
There you go. Maybe he just, well, he was young. Like you said, all that, you know, maybe he just really didn't have any money and was really trying to hang out.
And that's vice versa. The woman asked the man. Don't ask him if you don't have any money.
But we're 10 years down the road now. So I want to know, you know, and before I, you know, get involved in this whole thing, you know, just come with me. Come to me honestly. Excuse me. Come to me honestly. Let me know what's up. You know, this is a legitimate invitation. I got it. You know, we're going to go and have a nice time and it is my treat. It's a legitimate invitation. We are good. You know, if you are after thinking about it and looking at the menu and, you know, so on and so forth, you decided that it's a little more pricey than you can afford. Well, you know what? We can still go out, but you know what? Let's go to a place that, you know, might be a little less pricey, but I can afford to pay and take you to, you know, someplace else, you know, that's not quite as pricey, but a lovely place. We can have a nice dinner and some nice cocktail. Good. I'm with that, but don't take me. No, don't invite me and then get there and you can't afford to pay. And then you looking at me for me to pull out my cards.
Right.
You know, I'm not playing that game. You know, I'm not playing that game. And guess what? Since I knew you from 10 years ago, I'm not going to make any assumptions. I'm just going to have that conversation with you. We can communicate and see how it goes. And we'll see how everything goes from there. And if you're open and honest with me, we will have that date. You know, if you're open and honest. If you're not, that's a problem. And if you lie up front and I find out when we get there, you know what? You're going to be in there washing dishes because I'm not paying for a date that you invited me on. Yeah. That's not going to happen. You know, so that's the way I feel about it. And nothing can go, since he's already asked you for a date, nothing will go beyond that date. Either that date works out or it doesn't, you know, and that would be it because you already have a negative history. So you can either, you know, you can either see what's up with him or get rid of him very quickly, either way. All right, that's it. Let me know how it works out. I hope you enjoy a nice dinner at Nobu's.
Okay. All right. I think that is it for this episode, Ma. Is there anything that you wanted to say?
No. Everybody, just take care of yourself. Enjoy your summer. You know, I'll be back in, you know, a few days. And in the meantime, just enjoy your rest of your summer. You know,
I love how you say no.
We only like halfway through. We're not even halfway through the summer yet.
I love how you say no, no, and then you go yes, continue by talking. Yes,
I thought of a few things I wanted to say, but I'm just messing with you. And take care, everybody, and you know, vote, and you know, and keep an eye on these politicians, the things they say and do, and think about the things that you would like your representatives to do for you.
Yeah,
and remember all those things when you go to vote. And
we have
You know, we have to hammer that point and go vote. Please know it is worth your while. Go vote.
So
everything is at stake. Everything is at stake, guys.
Okay. Thanks for listening, guys, to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us and like and subscribe to whatever streaming service you're listening to us on. We're on a lot of them, guys, at least 10, 12 of them. Don't forget to email us at info@bambushihappyhour.com with any comments, questions, whatever you got. We really do appreciate all of the comments that we receive on our YouTube channel, All Things Peju, which is the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. So check us out there as well, guys. And just be safe and stay cool, guys. Bye.
Bye.